Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, fellow senators. I'm here, obviously, as a co-sponsor to strongly support this bill and to second the arguments that were very profoundly and competently made by Senator Bradley. I would like to focus on a few items that he only touched briefly on. And I'd like to quote from a speech to the Brookings Institute done on December 8th of last year by a prominent member of the current administration. The speaker said, quote, over the past 15 years, small businesses have created roughly 65% of all new jobs. These are companies formed around kitchen tables and family meetings, formed when an entrepreneur takes a chance on a dream, formed when a worker decides it's time she became her own boss. That speaker was President Obama. And he repeated very much the same comments in Nashua 1 week ago today. And in his comments in Nashua, he outlined very specifically the tax incentives that he was going to propose to the tune of $30 billion to help revive small businesses in this country and invigorate them to hire more people, to provide more jobs, and to do what businesses do, which is produce things that people want to buy. This bill needs to be passed in order to unite and join with President Obama in his program to ensure that small businesses prosper and grow in New Hampshire. That's why I support it. There are several key provisions in this bill that I would like to draw your attention to, although I'm sure you have already noted them. First of all, good tax policy. No accountant, no tax lawyer, no casual observer can disagree with this statement contained in Roman 3 of the purposes. Good tax policy means the rules have to give clear guidance to the taxpayer to encourage compliance and enhance the competitiveness of the economy. This bill, if enacted into law, would accomplish that purpose far better than current law does. And let's look at current law. Senator Bradley alluded to the inconsistent testimony of DRA and Commissioner Clardy about whether this $50,000 safe harbor was revenue neutral or might result in a loss of $14.3 million in aid. That's an inconsistency that I have heard because I've sat through every session of House Bill 1607, which deals with the reasonable compensation issue. But let me point out something else. It's my understanding from numerous sources that there are about 70,000 small businesses in this state that are either sole proprietors, partnerships, LLCs, or subchapter C or S corporations, basically closely held corporations in which one, two, or a handful of people do the work, sweat payroll, and come up with a product, hopefully earning a decent income somewhere down the line. DRA has said that they are auditing between 4,000 and 6,000 taxpayers a year. That's close to a 10% audit rate. That's about four times higher than the IRS audit rate. And as Senator Bradley alluded to, that auditing is going further and further down the food chain until we're getting to the ma-and-pa companies and the ma-and-pa partnerships and the sole proprietors in auditing. That's why this bill is important for the next two reasons that I want to mention. On lines 21, 22, the bill provides such amounts, meaning compensation, shall generally include all amounts reported as earned income on federal tax returns, but shall not include, etc. Critical from a record-keeping responsibility and function. Let's use the federal tax returns that these businesses and proprietors and partners have to file. Don't impose an additional burden on record keeping and record production on these businesses. Let them turn over their Schedule C's, their Schedule E's, their 1040s, and have that be, as this bill states, prima facie evidence that the compensation claimed is reasonable. Keep in mind, these folks are paying 15% in FICA and Medicare taxes on that compensation. Then they're paying federal income tax on top of that compensation. You don't, as a general rule, very few people try to reduce the level of compensation in order to avoid those taxes. If they declare the compensation, they're paying that tax. And so there's not a compliance issue with declaring the compensation. So that language on lines 21 and 22 is critical. The other thing that's critical is the burden of proof, which is stated in subparagraph B, lines 25 through 29. It provides a shared burden of proof, as I use the phrase. In the first instance, the taxpayer has the burden of going forward and introducing some evidence to show that the deduction that is being claimed is reasonable. But once that threshold is met, the burden shifts to the Department of Revenue Administration to prove, by a preponderance of the evidence, that that claimed deduction is not reasonable. That's the way it should be. That's the way it was in the past. The standard of clearly excessive, I think, is a step forward to restoring the balance between the effort and the requirements of the taxpayer versus the resources at the disposal of DRA, and I would strongly encourage you to adopt the bill without any amendment. I'd be happy to answer any questions.